Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder in your word that we need not fear anything in this life, because you always are with us and you have a perfect will. And Lord, we can count on you. And so, Lord, I pray now that you would meet with us in a special way as we study your word and then take time to pray. And I pray that it would all redound to your honor and your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm going to ask you to, let's see. I'm having to do things a little differently because I'm using the newer laptop. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to focus on verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We'll read in just a minute, but as you have it ready, we'll get to it in just a minute. As you can imagine, as a pastor, I am called upon from time to time to counsel and comfort individuals who either have experienced the death of a loved one or who are going through very difficult circumstances. And as I prayed and asked God to guide me in what I should preach this evening, the Lord brought to my heart a definite sense that someone, maybe more than one, listening today, whether here or on Zoom or even later on our website, needs the encouragement of the truths from God's word that we'll be considering this evening. One of these truths is the truth that the only true comfort to be found comes from the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Please keep in mind that what we will cover today applies only to those who have been born again, born into God's family by faith in Christ. And so if you're listening to this and you have never made sure of your salvation, please contact me so that I can help you to come to Christ and be sure of your salvation. But in order to experience God's comfort yourself as a believer, or be able to comfort others with God's comfort, you must first become one of his children by faith in Christ. So having established that foundation then, Christian, any effective comfort you or I can pass on to others must come from God. Would you follow along there as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I hope you caught all that. There's some complicated grammar there, but it's very important. Read over it till you get the full sense of that. The point is, whether you need comfort yourself or whether you desire to truly comfort others who need it, this passage from God's word has something for all of us. We'll be coming back to this passage in 2 Corinthians, but we'll also look at some other passages in due course in this message. So keeping in mind what I just read from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 3 and 4, notice first of all the phrase, the God of all comfort. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1, sorry, I don't know what got there. Okay, the God of all comfort is the only source of true comfort for his children. I hope that you can see that. He is the only source of true comfort because he is the God of all comfort. The reference to all comfort implies that he can comfort any kind and degree of sorrow, affliction, or trouble. And this is supported further by verse 4, where Scripture declares that he comforts us in all our affliction. He's the only source of true comfort because he is the Father of mercies. The word translated mercies here is a form of the Greek verb oiktiro, which describes strong feelings of compassion that result in acts of mercy and compassion. Wow, you can see how that Greek word has a whole lot more than we can put into one word in English. So I hope you gather all of that. strong feelings of compassion that result in acts of mercy and compassion. So when you understand God's strong feelings of compassion toward his children, then you can begin to understand the kind of comfort he has available for you. He is the only source of true comfort because he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed how we seem to draw more comfort from someone who has experienced something similar to what we are going through? You may be thinking right now something like this: well, Pastor, I can't see how God has experienced what I am going through. Consider this: God's Son, the Lord Jesus, has experienced everything you have gone through and more. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. In fact, go ahead and turn there. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Did you catch that? He's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He's gone through everything that we can go through. You see, but not exactly, because this is the, you know, 21st century. No, we're talking about categories of things, okay? I think you know that. So, and we also know that the Father and the Son are one. In fact, all three persons of the Godhead are fully aware of and share in each other's thoughts and feelings. Therefore, whatever the Son experienced, the Father experienced as well, and can therefore sympathize with us in all our weaknesses and sorrows. Some of us are more empathetic than others, okay? If you want to know one of my secrets, I am highly empathetic, okay? In fact, I can't watch a movie where somebody goes through sorrow without my eyes leaking. You say, oh man, that's the way I am. That's the way God made me, okay? But it also means that when you're going through something, I feel with you. And even just thinking about going through with you almost makes my eyes leak. So understand how God the Father and God the Son share what each one is experiencing and going through and feeling, even more than any empathetic person here on earth. Isaiah 53 and verse 3 says this: He was despised and forsaken of men. Who's that referring to? Jesus, yeah. That was predicted all the way back in Isaiah's day in the Old Testament. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. So all the way back there, it said what Jesus would go through. John chapter 10, verse 30. The Lord Jesus said this: I and the Father are one. And John 14, verses 10 and 11, the Lord Jesus said this: Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Jesus was just stating the fact of that perfect union of the Father and the Son had and have. How do you avail yourself of God's true comfort? And by true comfort, maybe I should define that. True comfort is comfort that really does comfort, okay? You've got fake comfort, okay? And you can tell when somebody's faking their comfort to you. It's like, oh, brother, I wish this person would just leave me alone, okay? No, this is true comfort. It really does comfort because it's real. And so this is God's comfort. How do you avail yourself of that? Well, you begin by reminding yourself of the truths about God we just covered. Meditating on that truth, thinking through it, enables you to focus on God instead of your troubles and sorrows. That's always the biggest mistake we make, is to get our eyes on the circumstances and get our eyes off of God, off of our Lord. Oh, listen, if I could just give you one huge secret to comfort, is to keep your eyes on the Lord. The Bible says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The fact is, dealing with your troubles begins with dealing with the feelings that result from what is happening in your life right now. How many have feelings? Yeah, I should probably put both hands up because that's me. Okay. It's usually easier for you to give a brother advice to deal with a situation than to give comfort to deal with the feelings that overwhelm your brother in this situation. This is why a hug or a sympathetic tear from your brother will mean more to you in the throes of your sorrow over a loss than would practical advice on how to deal with your changed circumstances. By the way, I'm a hugger, and that saves a lot of talk. Okay? The access to God's comfort is given us in His Word, prayer. Go to God in prayer and ask Him for the comfort you need, and then trust Him to keep His promises, especially the one He gave in verse 4 of our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. What's the throne of grace referring to? Prayer. Okay, we go before the Lord and ask Him for things. The wonderful picture that the throne of grace brings to mind is of going before the throne room of God and knowing that He said, draw near, tell me, I'll answer. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God's true comfort is meant to be shared with others who need it. Interesting that in our text, it talks about the fact that God will comfort us, and then we're to help comfort others with that comfort that God gave us. Okay? So we're supposed to share that. Learn from it and share it. So when you go through sorrow, trials, and you receive God's comfort, then remember it. And remember it to be able to share with somebody else when they're going through the same thing. We can say, you know what? I know what you're going through. I've been there. And yes, God will give us opportunities to comfort others. We not only benefit from God's comfort personally, but God then also expects us to comfort others with the same comfort we receive from God, as we just read in 2 Corinthians. So once you have learned to avail yourself of God's comfort, then you can share that lesson with others, walk them through it, and encourage them to avail themselves of God's comfort constantly, even when you are not around. It's a blessing for individuals to draw comfort from others, and that is one benefit of fellowshipping with other believers. You see why God put us together in churches? So that there's always opportunity to fellowship and to comfort one another, pray for one another, and encourage one another. It's all too easy, however, to depend on others whom you can see and hear physically instead of depending on God. You've got to learn to depend on God first of all. That's the first lesson. Yes, God put others there to give you comfort and to give you opportunities to depend on them. But God has to come first. You've got to learn to depend on Him first. Remember, God is the ultimate source of true comfort. Comfort can only be enduring and effective when you learn to draw your comfort directly from God. By the way, don't become so independent that you don't need anybody. You know, like, don't eat anybody. No, don't talk to me. I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah, because I've learned how to draw comfort from God alone. And so get out of my... No, no. Okay, so please rejoice in the comfort others give. And but knowing that you've learned first to get your comfort from God. All right. You may be called upon in the next few days to comfort others during their times of loss or during times of physical affliction or great difficulty. It may be that you yourself are experiencing affliction of some kind. May the Lord use what we've learned today to help you find that comfort that you need for yourself and for others. And by the way, the best thing you can do is to pray for one another, because you don't know what they're going through. You knew what I was going through with all the things that happened to me recently, but maybe someone just hasn't said anything and they're going through something. We'll pray for one another. I pray for each one of you, and I say, Lord, I don't know if something's going on in their lives that they need special grace. Lord, work in their hearts, give them comfort, give them wisdom, give them guidance, supply their needs. So pray for one another. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these passages of Scripture that remind us that you are the God of all comfort and that you comfort us in all our affliction. Thank you, Lord, that we can go to you. Thank you that your comfort is true comfort. It is effective. It is what we need. Lord, I pray that even as you commanded us in 2 Corinthians to comfort others with what we've learned from your comfort, may we be effective comforters of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, I pray that if there's anyone listening to this message who has never trusted you as Savior, Lord, may they realize they need you not only for salvation, but for comfort and grace and strength to face life and to go through afflictions that may come across their path. I pray, Father, that you would have your will in every heart for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.